Good morning, everyone. I'm R.W. Acella with a word in Edgewise. Today is the 16th of June, the 167th day of 2025, affording us 198 days on our way to 2026. In our garden, the bumblebees are happy and abundant among the many lupin, our dominant flower the past couple of weeks in purple and pink, but mostly purple, some blue, making a nice contrast to the now plentifully interspersed buttercups. The neighboring beauty bush has lately begun its yearly bloom and functions as part of our backyard bower, bolstered by a slender five-trunked silver maple. Young hollyhocks and evening primrose from ancient seed are reemerging for 2025, but are a ways away from flowering, though nearby the faint white and blue blooms of our comfrey continue to proliferate. Canadian rhubarb stalks are ready to pull. While we continue to bide our time as to what to grow this year in the big terracotta patio pots, we think about turning over some earth to sow some seed for root vegetables and are reminded of Leah Naomi Green's poem, Carrot. Take all summer, your ember from the sun, its walking meditation. Store it in small vaults of light to keep the rest of us. When winter seals around each day, we'll flicker to the table. We'll gather to your orange flame. Meanwhile, recent test results from a lab on the other side of the country came back Lyme positive, so yours truly has begun his second regimen of doxycycline, this one twice as long as the first. Maybe we'll hunt down and find every one of those little spirochetes this time, eh? So much for the microcosm of tick-borne vectors. Let's shift our focus to celebrate the macrocosm of significant moments in the often glacially slow evolution of human consciousness, one of them being this Thursday's federal holiday, Juneteenth, commemorative of June 19, 1865, when Union Major General Gordon Granger and his troops arrived in Galveston, Texas, and Granger delivered General Order No. 3, saying, "The people of Texas are informed that, in accordance with a proclamation from the Executive of the United States, all slaves are free. This involves an absolute equality of personal rights and rights of property between former masters and slaves, and the connection heretofore existing between them becomes that between employer and hired labor." Free at last, free at last, a transformation of which is rendered in Roque Salas Rivera's poem, Wing. "The wing of the sea is the wave of the sky is the rain. The salt of the rain falls as hail, and the hail of hate rains in shots. The shot of the soul is the bell. Bell without time is the ballad. Ballad that craves no beloved. The love that names not its ballad. A bridleless horse is this life. The life of the sea is the wave. The wave of the bird is the wing. And the wing of hatred is war. The war of the wind is the storm. Storm of the soul, the beloved. Beloved of all, the poet. Poet of the sea, mariner, sea of the poem, the future." Heavenward, tonight in the western sky, the bright bluish-white star Regulus, heart of the constellation Leo the Lion, and the red planet Mars will be in conjunction, appearing quite close in the night sky. Then Wednesday, about midnight, our last quarter moon will rise high in the sky, appearing to keep company with the planet Saturn. And on Saturday and Sunday, back to the eastern sky for our waning crescent moon keeping company with the bright planet Venus and the star cluster Pleiades. Today in 1884, America's first purpose-built roller coaster ride, built by Lamarcus Thompson and called the Switchback Railway, opened at Coney Island, New York. Today in 1893, German-American F.W. Ruckheim introduced his Cracker Jack brand of caramel-coated popcorn and peanuts snack food. Today in 1903, Henry Ford incorporated Ford Motors and the Pepsi-Cola Company was formed. Today in 1904 became Bloom's Day, the day of protagonist Leopold Bloom's activities in James Joyce's 1922 novel, Ulysses. Today in 1909, Glenn Curtiss, for $5,000, sold his first commercially available airplane in the U.S. Today in 1963, Soviet cosmonaut Valentina Tereshkova became the first woman to travel in space, completing 48 orbits of the Earth in 71 hours. Today in 1967, 50,000 people attended the first day of the Monterey International Pop Festival, beginning the Summer of Love. Today in 1970, Kenneth Gibson was elected the first black mayor of Newark, New Jersey. Today in 1980, the musical comedy film The Blues Brothers, starring Dan Aykroyd and John Belushi, premiered in Chicago, Illinois. Today in 1890, in Lancashire, England, actor and theater manager Arthur J. Jefferson and his actress wife Margaret Metcalfe welcomed their new son Arthur Stanley Jefferson into the world. Because of his parents' active theater life, traveling the country, Stanley lived with his maternal grandparents, George and Sarah Metcalfe, for the first 7 years of his life. By age 16, he had given his first professional performance as Stan Jefferson, but by age 30, he changed his last name to Laurel. Along the way, he had been an understudy for Charlie Chaplin and had a low-key acting career in silent comedy films, but by 1927, Stan had become a director for Hal Roach and was directing Get 'Em Young, in which Oliver Hardy played the lead, a meek butler. When Hardy burned his arm preparing a leg of lamb, Stan jumped in to assume Hardy's butler role and keep the film on schedule. Once Hardy recovered, Hal Roach nonetheless insisted that Stan's performance remain in the film, as Roach didn't want to throw away any of the earlier shots. So the script was rewritten, with both actors appearing in the film, which became a success, leading to the creation of the Oliver Hardy and Stan Laurel team, aka Laurel and Hardy, who would make 105 films together. Stan Laurel once observed, "Ollie and I had different hobbies. He liked horses and golf. You know my hobby, and I married them all." Of his five marriages, two were to the same woman, Virginia Ruth Rogers. Today is also the birthday in 1723 of Scottish economist and philosopher Adam Smith, in 1829 of Apache leader and resistance fighter Geronimo, in 1917 of American newspaper publisher Catherine Graham, in 1920 of the first African-American tennis player to play professionally, Bob Ryland, and of American author of Black Like Me, John Howard Griffin. In 1922 of American dancer, actress, and World War II pinup girl, Frances Rafferty. In 1924 of American jazz saxophonist, Lucky Thompson. In 1938 of American novelist, Joyce Carol Oates. In 1941 of American songwriter, Lamont Dozier. In 1942 of American vocalist, Eddie Levert. In 1947 of American jazz musician Bones Malone. In 1950 of Irish rock guitarist Gary Roberts and of American singer James Smith. In 1951 of Brazilian actress Sonia Braga. In 1952 of Canadian singer Gino Vannelli. In 1953 of American actress Valerie Mahaffey. In 1962 of Nigerian singer-songwriter and saxophonist Femi Kuti. And in 1971 of American rapper Tupac Shakur. From Orono, Maine, I'm R.W. Estella with a word in Edgewise, welcoming this 13th and therefore final week of spring and the 25th week of 2025.